I lost a friend this week, Monsignor Jeffrey Wald, the pastor of the Basilica in Jamestown. He did succumb to COVID-19 this week. He's a little older than I am. I'm 53, he's 56. We entered the seminary together. I've known him for over 30 years. We did all of our philosophy together, all of our humanities. We suffered through our languages, our Latin and our Greek, and I always walked away from a conversation with him with a smile on my face. May he rest in peace. Let's pray for his rest. Let's pray for the people, the faithful of the Basilica in Jamestown, and of course, for the Diocese of Fargo. As they lose, he was a great pastor. He was a great pastor and a character and a great man of faith, great advocate of Catholic schools. I'm going to miss him in my life for sure. As the video before Mass reminded us, we are beginning National Vocation Awareness Week this week. And sometimes we refer to having a vocation as being called to be a priest or being called to be a religious sister only. But as Sister Idel reminded us, we all have different vocations in life. But all of us, as baptized, essentially have the same vocation. We all have a vocation to follow Jesus Christ. That is the standard of holiness for all of us, how we follow Jesus. And all of the baptized have been able to do that. They have been able to remain faithful to Jesus century after century after century, because of the Holy Eucharist, because of the power of Jesus Christ through his real and divine presence in the Holy Eucharist. The Eucharist is what's kept the church together for 2,000 years. This week you've received in your home the Corpus Christi connection. This is a new way for us to communicate with you during these days. We're not gonna get to normal for a while here. And we want to communicate with you in new effective ways. This first issue speaks about adoration. It speaks about an opportunity we have to encounter that real and divine presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist through the Eucharistic devotion of adoration. I asked Jen to put a plate up of the monstrance. I call those plates. I'm old enough to know what a slide is. It's not a real slide to me. Plate's not the right word, but what do you call it? Screen? That's a monstrance. It comes from the word monstrare, which means to show. A monstrance shows us the Blessed Sacrament. And as Monsignor Ronald Knox said, this host in the monstrance is a kind of window. It's a window in which heavenly streams come into our world, and the host in that monstrance is a window that gives us access to a spiritual world outside our own. That's very, very beautiful. That statement is very, very beautiful. In consultation with my clergy and my staff, since the COVID shutdown, we are reintroducing adoration of the Blessed Sacrament here at Corpus Christi. Today is November 1st. It's easy to remember when it starts. December 1st. We're going to have adoration every Tuesday, the first Tuesday in Lent, of Advent rather. We're going to begin in Advent, is December 1st. Adoration will happen in this church, not the small adoration chapel, but in this church where we can space appropriately. Following the 12:10 Mass, which means if you come to my daily Mass, that's about 12:30, until 7 o'clock, we have adoration. We have this church ready for you to spend time in prayer. And I'm having all the homilies this weekend to encourage all of us to make that happen. We need committed adorers, and we need committed subs, so that non-committed adorers can walk in at any time. I want you to know, beginning December 1st, that we have this Eucharistic devotion from about 12:30 to 7. You can stop in. But we need committed adorers to make it possible, because we need somebody in the church. It's very easy to do. You can call the church or just go to our site right there and just click on where it says, "I want to become an adorer," and select your hour. I've also wanted to offer 30-minute time periods. So if you want to do an hour, just do two consecutive 30-minute time periods. But we need to fill our hours, and with the people we have, the numbers here, I know we can do it. I know we can do it. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament brings immeasurable graces to every parish. You've had it previously differently. This is how we're bringing it back now. Tuesday's the day. Thursday, remember, a lot of activity out there with our food pantry. Tuesday, a quiet day for Eucharistic adoration. Your bulletin this week has this gold sheet, which has all kinds of information of adoration. We will have prayer aids here for you when you come in on December 1st, beginning in Advent. And I want to reflect on adoration. I want to reflect on prayer a little bit. Four words I wrote down this week. I wrote down mystery, experience, silence, relationship. Our gift of the Holy Eucharist is a mystery. It's the center of our faith. And if you noticed, since I've arrived here, and I've done it for 27 years, I begin Mass by saying, let us prepare our hearts to celebrate these mysteries of our faith. What we do here are mysteries. A while ago, I had a man who became Catholic, actually, in part, because I kept saying that at Mass. He said, "I never realized that when I came to Mass with my wife," he was not Catholic. He came to Mass every Sunday with his wife for 35 years. I said, "Why in the world would you do that?" He said, "Because it's important to her." And I thought, "Well, now it makes sense. Sure. That's marriage." But he said, "I realized when you talked about mystery that I don't need to understand everything." This Protestant man defined mystery in the Catholic sense right there. In a mystery, we understand something about something, but not everything about it. When Jesus said at the Last Supper, "This is my body and this is my blood," this became a mystery, because there was no physical change that took place in that bread and in that wine. To today, to the senses, bread and wine remain today. And did you notice at the Last Supper, Jesus offered no proof to support his claim that the bread became his body and that the blood became from the wine? There was no proof he gave us, because he wanted us to be people of faith. Only faith justifies our receiving communion. Only faith justifies receiving the bread and wine, not as the bread and wine, but as he intended, his body and his blood. This is a mystery, and we as Catholics need to be comfortable with mystery. I believe I'm a baptized Catholic. I believe because I understand something, but I don't understand everything. We need to pray before the monstrance. We need to pray before the tabernacle so that God can experience me. What we do here is not always about my experience of God. When I taught high school, I visited with them, debated with them a lot. My juniors and seniors used to think that we go to Mass to get something out of it. Why don't you go to Mass? I don't get anything out of it. Why do we always have to get something out of it? What if God gets something out of it? What if what we do here is not as much our experience as it's God's experience of us? Before I go to my judgment, for better or for worse, I don't know how it's going to go, but before I see the Lord in my judgment, I at least want him to recognize me. I at least want him to have experienced my faith in him. Studying in Europe, the European model, not the best model of education. You go to classes for 10 or 12 weeks. You attend lectures for 10 or 12 weeks. There's no book reports, no midterms, no quizzes. You just go to class. And after 12 weeks, you sit before your professor for 15 minutes, one-on-one for the exam. That's your entire grade. And the professor just wants to know what you don't know. I mean, 15 minutes is a long time if you don't know everything. And you don't complete a lot of sentences. He'll go, it's often a priest, he'll just go from topic to topic to topic. He wants to know what you didn't learn. I mean, a lot can happen. But what you don't want to happen when that exam begins is you don't want him to not recognize you. So you sit in the same place, make eye contact, look at him, have him look at me. The Cur Ars said this. He said, all that takes place when I pray before the Blessed Sacrament is this. I look at Christ, and he looks at me. When we do that, we also cultivate silence in our life. There's so much noise. Remember my homily about citizenship in heaven? Turning off the TV? Remember, I turn on what my dad listens to, channel 948, the easy listening channel, just to remind myself that my citizenship is in heaven. I listened to the news this morning when I made my omelet, but by 5:30 I was back on channel 948, just in peace, trying to cultivate silence again in my life. Blaise Pascal said this, a miserable man is a man who cannot sit alone in a silent room and do nothing. A miserable man is the man who cannot sit alone in a silent room and do nothing. In other words, the miserable man cannot be with himself. The miserable man needs noise to distract himself from himself. We cultivate that silence in prayer. When Mother Teresa gave us a retreat as seminarians, she kept talking time and time again about the way God talks to us is in silence. The way our Lord loves us is in silence. God speaks to us in the silence of our heart. Remember this, when we go around and distribute communion today, in the Eucharist we are about to distribute, Jesus is as silent as he was at death. That's how he speaks to us. My dear people, we need Eucharistic adoration to continue our relationship with Jesus. Our religion is a relationship with the living, resurrected person of Jesus. Our religion is not a list of things to do. Our religion is not a list of things to memorize. It's a relationship to be lived. And above all, every prayer we pray outside of Mass leads us back to Mass, because there is no greater Eucharistic devotion than what we do right here. When Bishop Kinney ordained me, he told me to always look forward to something in life. And I've always told that to my students, I've always told that to my people. We always have to look forward to something in life. I don't care if it's a trip in a year's time. I don't care if it's a meal you're going to cook next week. We always have to have some anticipation in our life. Adoration can be that. It's an opportunity for us. I ask that you become a committed adorer. And we need to remember that our adorers, will pray for us all. I've asked Jen to play the litany after we receive the Eucharist on this All Saints Day, to ask the saints to pray for us. As we do that, my dear people, let's pray about getting closer and how we can continue to become more of our Lord's Eucharistic heart. Amen.